So I thank God for this. I thank God for our musicians. Amen. For playing this morning. Amen. Thank God for the deacons opening up. Amen. Our choir. Amen. Few in numbers, but they have a strong voice. Amen. They singing unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. We have a word this morning. How many of you are ready to hear a word from heaven? Amen. How many of you are ready to hear what God has to say on this morning? Hear what God has to say about your situation, your problem, the very thing that you're going through. God has something to say about it. Amen. And it is in his word this morning. Amen. Can we stand for the reading of God's holy word? Amen. This is giving respect to our Lord and Savior. Amen. If we can stand when the president entered the room, we can stand for God's word. Philippians, 3rd chapter, 7th verse. And I'm reading from the King James Version. When you have it, can you say amen? Amen. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Ye doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after it, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Amen for the reading of God's word on this morning. You may be seated. One thing I want to share with you on this morning, as a lot of times we don't get the opportunity to seize the moment because we are so busy with our everyday living, we just don't have the time to seize the moment. We've got deadlines that we have to, that we make commitments to, problems and priorities, distractions and obstacles, and though we really want more fulfillments from each day, it just doesn't seem to be within our grasp. Even the advertisers know how, know about the basic human desire that we have and produce it into their slogans by saying things, who says you can't have it all? Just do it. Satisfy your thirst. Life is a journey. I believe this is what the Apostle Paul's philosophy on life in Philippians 3, he puts it easily within our grasp. He describes his own life, his own philosophy of life. We need to learn to make the most of every opportunity and live life to the fullest, no matter how hectic your life may seem. Paul shows us some simple ways in these verses to live a more fulfilling life. First of all, we need to discover our purpose. Many of us don't even know our purpose, don't even know the reason why we are here. Let me tell you this short story. It's about a truck driver who was hauling 500 penguins to the zoo, but his truck broke down on him. So he eventually waved down another truck and offered that driver $500 to take these penguins to the zoo. The next day, the first truck driver got his truck fixed and drove into town, and he couldn't believe his eyes or what he was looking at. He saw the second truck driver crossing the road with the penguins, wallowing behind him in a single file line. The truck driver, he jumped out of his truck and ran up to the guy and said, "Hey, what's going on? I gave you $500 to take these penguins to the zoo." The man responded. He said, "I did take them to the zoo, but I had enough money left over, so now we're going to the movies." What I'm trying to get you to understand is that this guy didn't fully understand what he was supposed to be doing. Many believers today don't even understand what they're supposed to be doing. We don't understand our purpose. So if I were to ask everybody in this room, what is your purpose in life? I will probably get several different answers. Some people will say, "Well, I'm gonna be a good husband." Some people say, "I'm gonna be a good wife, be a good mother, be a good father. Do my job better. Be a good teacher. Be a better deacon. Be a better nurse. Be a better mechanic. Better preacher. Better pastor." And so on. Those answers will be good, but they're all secondary. The question is, what is your primary purpose in life? What is your reason for living? Everything in creation has a primary purpose or reason for existing. For anyone or anything to be successful, it has to fulfill that purpose. So what is the primary purpose of an ink pen? The answer is to write. You can have a $3 gold engraved pen that is out of ink. It may be pretty to look at, but it is a failure as a pen. It is not fulfilling its purpose. In other words, that $3 pen is useless. So what will you do when the time comes for you to sign a check? You can use that $3 gold engraved ink pen that looks good because it doesn't have any ink. It won't help you fulfill your purpose. Or it's not even fulfilling its purpose. So what are you going to do? Well, you're going to go and get you a 29-cent Bic ink pen, and you're going to sign that check. Why? Because that 29-cent ink pen is going to serve its purpose, and that is to write to bless you. So what am I saying? We are a blessing to bless others. That may seem like a simple illustration, but just as a pen has a primary purpose, every individual in this room that God has created has a primary purpose. Our lives would be without meaning unless we find out what is our purpose, our reason for living. Paul stated his reasons for living. He said, Paul is saying, "I want to know Christ, so that I may be like him." Simply put, Paul's reason for living was to be like Jesus. This should be our reason for living. If you say that I am a wonderful person, a wonderful pastor, I'm trying to be like Christ, so that should make you want to be like who I'm trying to be like. So don't look at me, but look at he that is greater in me than is in the world. One of the things that Paul said, we need to forget those things behind. Forget the past. How many of you ever been involved in a foot race? Amen. Some people, they take their shoes off when they get ready to race. Some folks think when they get new shoes, it makes them run faster. I don't know where that came from, but it just happens. But have you ever been involved in a foot race? What is the one thing that can slow you down? I tell you what, it's looking back. I'm going to tell you, my son, he must get it from my wife's side of the family because he don't get it from my side. Sorry, baby, I love you, but I got to use this. He will run. Now, my son can run. If he looks forward, he can flat out get it. But he likes to look backwards and run forward. I don't know anybody on my side of the family that do that. I've been with my family my whole life. I just ain't seen it. So I got to defer it to my wife's side because I ain't seen everybody over there. It ain't coming from over here. And yeah, I know her sister's back there too, but it just don't happen that way. He likes to. And it don't work. A lot of times he's running into things. But what he's doing is trying to see how the progress of somebody's behind him. Let me say this. That's the one thing that slows you down. If you want to flat out get it, keep your eyes right here. And you can flat out holler. There's times that I raced, and I was fast growing up. I would haul it. But I was never looking backwards. When I played ball, my coach is right there. He'll tell you. When I hit first base, as long as I could see the ball in front of me, that was one thing. But once that ball was, I kept my eyes on my coach. My thing is, I didn't focus on where the ball was. I was listening, and I picked up my coach. Because he would tell me when to stop. But many times when I hit second, he'd be doing this, going home, circling bases. Because he knew that they wouldn't get me out because, you know, my eyes was focused in the right position. I remember Coach Eno would say to me, he said, when Ronnie would turn second base, he said, I would see home in his eyes. He said, I would see it every time I would hit the ball in the outfield. He said, when I look in his eyes when he come around second. And I got big eyes, I'm going to tell y'all that. So it went hard for him to see. So when he would see my eyes, because I'd be looking right at him, he said, I can see home. And he said, I will tell him, go. Where's your focus? My focus was home. Where's your focus? Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. See, you spend a lot of energy and time looking where you have been and not where you're going. So you lose sight on the mark or the finish line. Both of these things make you lose focus, which in turn causes you valuable time in the race. Now, Paul says, not that I have already attained or I am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So another said, brother, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do. You know, there's a lot of things. Let me just stop right there for a moment. I got to say this. You know, there's a lot of things that people love to multitask. You know, the job say multitask. You multitask. They always tell you to multitask. You know, some of you may be able to multitask. You may be able to sing and preach. You may be able to prophesy and preach. You may be able to play the instruments very well. You may be able to sing very well. But there's one thing that I do, and I know that I can do it well, and that is praise the Lord. I may not be able to do it like you do it, may not be able to sing it like you can sing it, but I'm going to tell you something, I'm doing it. And in my doing it, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. So this is but this one thing that I do is that I can praise the Lord. That's one thing that I know I can do. May not be able to do all those other things, but there's one thing that I can do. I can praise the Lord. Well, Paul said it, said, forgetting those things. He said, this one thing I can do, forgetting those things which are behind and which reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, when you're pressing forward, when you're looking forward, you won't miss your mark. You won't miss where you're going. Paul is talking about pressing toward a goal, winning a race. He knows that he has not won the race, but he counts himself still in the race, trying to obtain the prize. He states in verse 13, in running the race, one thing he does is forgetting those things which are in the past and reaching for the future. In other words, he doesn't look back. He knows that if there was something that could hold him back, that is looking at last year. He's not going to dwell on it just because it comes into his mind. He's going to continue to focus on what's ahead. Forget the bad. I know that those things that happen to us happen to you. It happens. Paul is like all of us, and he had a past that he was trying to forget. He had tortured and murdered many innocent people. He had caused a lot of pain and done much damage to the cause of Christ. But now he was faced with a choice. He could either dwell on his mistake and let them ruin his life and his chance of effective ministry, or he could forget all about them and move on with his life. So in other words, consider Paul. If the devil had anything to bring against Paul, it would be reminders of how he had persecuted the early church and caused the death of stoning Stephen. Paul had done things that were hard for him to forget, but he had such a revelation of God's also forgiveness that he could say, forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm pressing towards the mark of the prize of the higher calling. Let me say this to you. Let me give you this illustration. Back in 1929, Georgia Tech was playing California. Late in the quarter, there was a guy by the name of Roy Riggles. He recovered a fumble for California. And he was so excited and got caught up in the excitement, and he became confused and began running in the wrong direction. After racing 69 yards, he was finally tackled by his own player at the California 20-yard line. So California, they attempted to punt from deep in their own end zone. But the kick was blocked, and Georgia Tech scored a safety. So in the locker room at halftime, Roy Riggles sat in a corner with his face buried in his hands, crying. The room was silent. The coach didn't make his usual halftime speech. But shortly before the team was to take the field for the second half, he said, the starting team is going back onto the field to begin the second half. The whole team left the locker room except for Roy Riggles. He remained in the corner with his face in his hands. He said, I can't do it, coach. I can't go back out there. He said, I can't play. I ruined the team. He told the coach, he said, I just can't do it anymore. He said, I can't face that crowd that is out there. He said, it's hard for me. The coach said, get up, Riggles. The game is only half over. You belong on the field. So Riggles did play. He returned to the field, and he had a better second half than he did in the first half. But what you need to understand is that our game, our life is only half over. Regardless of our past, we still have the rest of the game to play. So what if the enemy scored off of in the past? God is willing to forget about the mistake of the first half. And he expects us to do the same. So in other words, you have another half of your life to outdo what you did in the first half. So what if you made a mistake in the first half? The coach said to him, the game is only half over. So as pastor, I'm saying to you, it's only half over. You have the second half to do better. You don't have to stay in your state. You don't have to stay miserable. It's only half over. Many times in the locker room is when teams come out recharged. They reinvent themselves. They count what the enemy did to them. Paul's first half was persecuting the church. Persecuting. Talking against Christ. But at halftime, God gave him a pep talk. Why are you persecuting me? So as his halftime in life, God made a shift in his life. God did a turnaround in his life. So the second half of his life, he was on fire for the Lord. So the same energy that he had for bad, God turned it around for the good. So the first half of his life, not too much to speak about. But the second half of his life, there's a lot to speak about. A lot of books to read about. A lot of things to do. A lot of things God has said to him. A lot of things that we are rejoicing today because of what Paul wrote in the second half of his life. Things that he's done. Books that we recite. Scriptures that we recite as well. But this is God saying, look at him in the second half of his life. He's a better person in the second half than he was in the first half. So some of you are at the halftime of your life. God is speaking to you right now. You have a choice to make. You can press towards the mark of the prize of the higher calling that is in Christ Jesus. You can even write your book. Inspirational book. Let people quote what you said. How God has been good to you. What God has done to you in the second half of your life. Paul is saying, I will not live in the past. I'm saying to you, you don't have to live in the past. You got today. Today can be your new beginning. This is why we need to be new in Christ, because we don't have to wait till the first of the year to renew ourselves. We can renew ourselves in Christ right now, and that year can start for us right now. Yeah. Paul is saying, I will live for Jesus today. One thing we can know for certain is that God never consults your past to determine your future. He didn't consult Paul's past to put him in his future. We need to face the present. It is easy to live in the past And it's easy to dream away the future. But guess what? You have today that God has given you. See, some of us, we like to live in the past. Remember what Martha said? If only, Lord, you had been here. That's how you know when folks living in the past, because they say, if only you had been here, Lord, Lazarus wouldn't be in the condition that he's in. But God knew that Lazarus was going to be in the condition so she could see the power of the present. See, it's easy for us to say, Lord, I know what you did for me in the past. I know that you did this for me, Lord. I know what you did that for. He is not just the God of the past. He's the God of the present and the future. So we can say all we want about what God did in the past, but we serve a God that can do it in the present. Martha said, if only, Lord, you had been here. Some of you all are saying, if only, Lord, you have been. The Lord is where he's always been. Yes. Present and accounted for. Yes. She knew, Martha knew Jesus had the power in the past. But we need to understand that he's got the power in the present. See, we have no problem of believing Christ performed many miracles in the past and the greatest one of them all, dying on the cross and raising from the dead on the third day. We also have no problem believing that in the future he's coming back again to take us home with him. But why is it we have such a problem believing at his word in the present day? We have a problem with that. But see, look at what Jesus said to her. Martha replies was, yes, Lord. You have to say yes, Lord, this morning. When the Lord talks to you and you know that God can do it, you need to say yes, Lord. You need to put yes, Lord, in your life. Martha said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. By this confession, she was saying, not just yesterday, not just tomorrow, but today I believe that you are the Christ. It was at that moment that Martha began to face the present and put her faith into action. We need to say, yes, Lord, we believe and put our faith into action with God. We need to say, yes, Lord, I believe you're still the lily of the valley. We need to say, yes, Lord, I believe that you're still that voice that is speaking to me on that mountaintop. We need to say, yes, Lord, I believe you still walk up us across our rivers on dry land. We need to say, yes, Lord, I still believe that you can calm the stormy waters. We need to say, yes, Lord, I still believe that you can take my life and that you can turn it around for me in any moment, at any time. We need to say, yes, Lord, I believe that you're still the same God that you were with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that you can still bless me even now. We need to have a yes, Lord, in our life. Yes, Lord, I believe. If that's all you can say is yes, Lord, just continue to say yes, Lord. Facing the present means that we put our faith in Jesus Christ and trust him to believe. Trust him to believe that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. God does not want us to waste our lives away. He doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to seize the moment and live every day of our lives with a purpose. He's given us a reason for living, to be like him. See, here's the thing. When the doors of the church opens up, there should be no procrastination. When the doors of the church open up, and if you know that you're not sure about your situation, if you don't have a church home, there should be no reason why you should be lingering out there. You should be coming home to shelter. You should be coming home to Jesus. There should be no reason why. You may not know if you ever get this opportunity again. But let me tell you something about a man named Bartimaeus. In Mark chapter 10, a huge crowd was following Jesus as he left Jericho. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road as Jesus was going by. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was nearby, he began to shout. Sometimes you can just say Jesus' name to some people, they begin to shout. All you got to do is say Jesus and folks will start shouting because they know what that name can do. Now, I may finish this one, but I'm going to tell you something. He said, when he heard Jesus was coming, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. When Bartimaeus got up that morning, he had no idea that Jesus Christ was going to be passing by him that day. Some of you don't know that the Lord is present with us this morning. Some of you don't come in contact with him like you should because you ain't doing what you should. But I'm going to leave that alone right now. But I'm saying Bartimaeus, he had an issue. He had a condition. He couldn't see, but he heard about Jesus. May not have seen his works, but he heard about the man. When Bartimaeus got up that morning, he had no idea that Jesus Christ was going to be passing by today. So he thought it was just an ordinary day. Same place, same cry for help, same miserable, lonely, pitiful lifestyle. He had no time to prepare for Jesus. It was just an opportunity that was dropped in his lap. He had what? Seized the moment. He said, I'm not going to miss this one. In other words, he may have missed some other times, some other opportunity. But he said, make no mistake about it. I'm not going to miss this one. Not today. Not today. Not today. I'm not going to miss this one today. So what he was saying was, I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity that I have. In other words, why the blood is still running warm in my vein. Jesus is coming by my place right now. And what was his place? His place was at that moment. That's where he was. So he said, Jesus is coming by my place. In other words, I'm not going to delay. I'm not going to procrastinate. I'm going to do this now. In other words, I'm getting myself ready. Because soon as I know he's within reach. In other words, he had ears so he can hear. So sometimes your senses start to pick up what other senses are kind of low. So his senses of ears started picking up and he said, oh, he's getting close to me. So he said, Jesus, have mercy on me. So that's the first key to a fresh start in your life. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're going to do, do it now. Don't say next year I'm going to get myself right. I'm going to have a fresh start. Next month I'm going to make a fresh start. Tomorrow I'm going to make a fresh start. It's now you need to make a fresh start. In other words, you need to seize the moment. Every day there's an opportunity all around you for a fresh start. But you don't have to, we don't take advantage of the opportunity that God has given us. Right now, God has given you the opportunity to breathe and to come to him and to say, I surrender all to you, Lord. I give everything that I have, all of my problems, everything, Lord. I'm giving everything to you. You can have it. But see, we don't take advantage of the moment. We do this. We take our stuff to the altar and then we pick it up. And then if we drop, we pick that up too, and we take that back with us. God has said, take it to me. Bring it to me. He said, cast all of your cares on me. Whatever it is that is weighing you down, God said, I can fix it today. Procrastination is a strange phenomenon. We think it will make our lives easier. We think it will make our lives more present, when actually it just creates more stress. The truth is, you already know the right thing to do. But procrastination won't let us do it. That ain't nothing but the devil messing with you, making you believe that you got more time. I don't want to go there, but you remember the bunny and the turtle. The bunny said, I got lots of time. He was doing everything he could possibly do, because he knew that the turtle wasn't going to catch him. So he was procrastinating, over there doing whatever it is he's big enough to do, but that turtle was still going, still striving. May not get there when the rabbit get there, but he's still pressing towards the mark. He's going at his own pace, but you know what? He's going. He may not be doing it the way that the rabbit do it, but he's doing it.
Some of us are like that. We think we got a lot of time. We think just because we feel good, look good, that we got as much time as we have. But this may be your last time. So why not make it an interesting thing? Why not go out with a praise? Why not go out with a shout? Here's a blind man on the side of the road saying, I'm not going to miss this one. I'm not going to let this opportunity pass me by. I'm going to seize this moment, and I'm going to call out his name. Have mercy on me, son of David. This is your day that God has allowed you to see a day you never seen before. A new day, brand new mercy that God has allowed you to partake in, to see. We need to give our life to Christ. There's a lot of things you could be doing, but there's one thing you need to do, and that is praise the Lord. Because only what you do for him will last. Amen.